All right, we're going to open up to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 17 through to verse 2 of chapter 5. If you're visiting with us, we've been working our way through Ephesians, particularly focusing on the aspect of what it teaches us about who we are as God's people. Particularly in this place, we use the word connected. Paul's used the word unity. And so he continues to write to them. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So as we've been working through Ephesians, we keep coming back to this question of who are we? And as we've worked through what Paul's written, we hear that the gospel that God wrote when he predestined certain things was the same gospel that Jesus preached when he walked the earth. And it's now the same gospel that Paul is teaching to the Ephesians as he travels around teaching the Gentiles. And the gospel is this: all things united under Jesus. Who we are now is because of the work of Jesus. It's predestined by God the Father, and it foreshadows who we will be in eternity. But we're in the now, but not yet. And so things aren't complete. So as we've worked through it, who we are now is a community that honours Jesus. You see, God predestined us for adoption into his family, and he achieves it through our salvation. He bought it for us by the sacrifice of his real son, Jesus. Jesus gave his life willingly to buy us out of slavery. And we were part of a kingdom that rejects the authority of Jesus, but now we exist as God's kingdom and must daily surrender ourselves to the authority of our King. And so as his people, we live to honour Jesus. Who we are is also a community of people who've been brought into relationship with God as children. We're not slaves. We're heirs to the family fortune and partners in the family business. All the pieces of God's plan have been made clear to us. The final piece of the jigsaw that he gave to the apostles was the mystery that was revealed. That mystery was that all things will be united together under Jesus. And we're a kingdom of priests meant to mediate that kingdom and who God is to the people who don't know him. And the chief way we do that is through our unity. The gospel is about our ultimate existence of all things united under Jesus. What a wonderful future to be living together, perfectly united in the presence of Jesus. Right now, we're a community of God's people, focused on striving for unity. We are an entirely new version of humanity, called today to demonstrate the unifying gospel by the way we love each other despite our differences. Last week, Chris spoke about our purpose to be a place for growth and ministry. And every single one of us, whether we're doing a task or not, contribute to that through our presence here. When you're not here, God's people miss out on you. We need to be united with you. We need to know you. Otherwise, how do we demonstrate the unifying gospel? How can we be all things united under God's under Christ if some of us are missing? God's purpose is for you to be here with the mindset that you are needed, that you matter to us, and that you contribute to our growth by ministering to us. And so this week, I want to look at who we are during the week. What happens when we walk out of here? Who are we then? Are we still God's people when we go to our homes, to our schools, to our universities, to our workplaces? We're going to see that we're still a community that belongs to God and to each other, even in those times. We're still united under Jesus by the gospel. And it's that purpose that we live for. As God's people, we're a community that sends out people to live differently. But before we get there, in today's reading, Paul makes a big deal about who we once were and who we are now. He says that we have to live differently. And I think that's where a lot of us run into problems. We all struggle to live the way that the Bible tells us to live, with consistency. Why can't we follow the rules? Why is it so hard to behave like a Christian if Jesus saved us and we have God's Spirit living in us? When you look at what Paul's written, it seems pretty straightforward. It's all there in black and white. All we have to do is do it. Don't sin when you're angry. Make peace with each other rather than letting it drag on for days. Don't steal. Do something useful with your life. Be generous and share with people in need. Don't gossip and pull people down, but instead encourage them. Are these things really so hard? What goes on inside us to stop us from living the way that we're meant to? The problem is that we're living with the remnants of who we used to be, which is compounded by the fact that we're living surrounded by people and a culture that's different to who we're meant to be. Who we are as human beings is shaped by the culture that we've grown up in. And if you compare different cultures around the world, you can see that there are obvious differences in the way that people live. We've seen differences in the pictures this morning of the way people dress over in India. People think and act the way they do because they've been surrounded by people who also think and act that way. And as human beings, we all want to fit in. None of us ever want to be rejected. And so we dress to fit in. The way people dress in Mundaring is different to the way people dress in Scarborough. There are practical reasons why bikinis and board shorts don't cut it in the bush. But if you want to fit in over in Scarborough, you better leave your flanno at home. No. Yes. Our culture teaches us what jobs are the best ones to strive for. Some careers are respected in some places and rejected and despised in others. A culture's shared ideas about what makes you successful will automatically knock out some career choices from the list. Our culture tells us what we should do to have fun. Just look at all the four-wheel drives getting around Mundaring with mud on them. You don't see that in Netherlands. But it's not just what we do that is shaped by our culture, it's how we think. Every culture has a shared understanding of what makes a person a good person. In Eastern countries, a good person is someone who doesn't bring shame on the family. The reputation of the collective group is highly valued, whereas we tend to think that it's everyone for themselves. But even that changes over time, doesn't it? Those of us who have been around a little bit longer can attest to the fact that the attitudes and ideals of our own culture are not the same as they used to be. Each generation has its own way of thinking, and so it moves on. If you speak up against same-sex marriage today, you'll soon find that there's no place for you in today's society. But it wasn't always like that. The rules for disagreeing with each other and have changed so that it's no longer safe to express an opinion that differs with the majority. You quickly find a lynch mob on your doorstep if you do. You see, our culture teaches us how to be accepted. And if we don't want to be rejected, we must follow the rules. And that creates a default called a worldview. How we see ourselves, our world, and our place in it is built into our subconscious as an unbreakable set of rules. And one of the most stressful things that you can do is to unpack that and try to change it. Because it's our understanding of truth. And if the rules for that are suddenly changed, how do you move forward? How do you know who you need to be anymore? How do you know how to think and act to stay safe? You see, what goes on in our culture shapes the way we think and becomes who we are. And so when we're stressed and we're emotional, we act out of that default. And I want you to remember this as we read the next statement that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. See, Paul was the apostle with the mission of taking the gospel to the Gentiles, but he was also a Jew. And he'd probably had many conversations with Jews about Gentiles in a previous life before he was saved. You see, Jews often thanked God that they weren't Gentiles. They thanked him that they weren't like those filthy dogs. They would never belong in God's kingdom. Their way of life is atrocious. And yet Paul's heart was changed by Jesus. And he wasn't putting the Gentiles down. He was writing to the Gentiles. And he wrote this. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Paul wrote that as an apostle, he spoke with the authority of God. And so when he insisted on this in the Lord, he spoke with all the weight of God's authority, and he was insisting that every single one of them must obey this command. And that command was this: all of you Gentiles must no longer live as Gentiles do. He wasn't talking to Jews and saying, thank goodness we're not like those Gentiles, don't behave like them. He was talking to Gentiles and saying, do not be a Gentile. You must turn your back on your own culture, the culture that you were born into, the culture that taught you everything that you know about the world, about how to live in it. You must no longer live according to the rules of that culture. Wow. You have to completely throw out your old way of thinking. Everything you thought you knew about what defines a good person is meaningless. What a statement. When Paul taught them the gospel, he showed them that they had an old self and a new self. He taught them that in Jesus they'd become a new creation. He wrote about God's people as being an entirely new humanity, different to every other race and culture on the planet. Every existing human culture has been shaped by people corrupted by sin. All human cultures have been built on the foundation of rebellion against God's authority. And no human culture in the world is designed to lead its people into unity under Jesus for all eternity. They're all based on doing what seems right according to the desires of its people. And it wasn't that as Gentiles they had to become like the Jews to be accepted. Even the Jews who'd been known for centuries as God's people have to see themselves in the light of this new humanity. A humanity made up of all kinds of people from all different races brought into unity together by the saving work of Jesus. Paul commanded them with all the authority of an apostle of Jesus to throw away the rules for life, to throw away their entire worldview, to throw away their sense of identity, and to become like God. Don't act like other human beings. Become like God, who is righteous and holy. That is a whole new mindset. It's a completely different way of seeing yourself. And it's a very confronting way of thinking about the people around you. It changes all the rules. It changes your purpose in life. And it has to change the way you live. It's only when we grasp the truth of what Paul commanded us to do that we begin to be ready to live the way he's described. Until we rewrite our worldview and we no longer see ourselves as part of the culture that we live in, we're never going to be able to break the hold that our culture has over us. The Gentiles had to stop seeing themselves as Gentiles, and we have to stop seeing ourselves as part of the world we live in. We must no longer live the way that Western Australians live, in the futility of their thinking. We must put on our real identity, created to be like God, not like the people around us. But while we continue to see ourselves as in unity with the people we live amongst, we're going to continue behaving like them because we all want to fit in where we think we belong. And so we need to recognize that our emotional default, the way we think and behave when we're tired, when we're under pressure, has been shaped by a culture that we're not meant to belong to. It's when we're tired and our strength is low that our attention wanders and our willpower goes with it. That's when our emotions try to take over. Our emotions speak out of a place of our heart. But the Bible warns us that our hearts are, above all things, not to be trusted, because it's our hearts that hold on to the past. Our emotional default has been set by the culture that we grew up in. But that's not who we are anymore. So we need to be deliberate and disciplined while we're not under pressure. We need to do the hard work of resetting our minds now. We need to change our entire way of thinking. And we need to reinforce it constantly through repetition. Of course, ultimately, we need the regenerating work of God's Spirit in us, which is ours through salvation. It's God's Spirit who turns the lights on inside us so that the things that we read in Scripture make sense. But the progress we make in changing our mindset correlates with the extent to which we surrender to the will of God. We have to cooperate with God. We have to accept that what we think is right is actually futile nonsense. If we hold on to our old ways of thinking, we'll keep reverting to our old default every time. And Paul points out that the way God has predestined for that to happen is in the context of his body. When we come together as a church and we live out the culture of who we really are instead of who we once were, we reinforce to each other that this is the new normal. And just as we learned our old worldview through living and interacting with people who all lived one way, we work together to reset what that looks like when we're surrounded by people who are all becoming like God. We call it discipleship. And as we learn together, encourage each other, and pick each other up along the way, it prepares us to go into the world and to do what God predestined for us to do, to demonstrate the gospel of all things united under Jesus. It's something that we can't do while we continue to think and act like the culture that we live in. We have to be set apart. We have to be different to everybody else. And Paul wrote that as the church, each of us need to be authentic to who we really are, to put off the falsehood and thinking and acting the way we used to, and to focus on living the truth of who we really are. When that happens, the culture of a church becomes completely different. It becomes a reflection of God rather than a reflection of us or our culture. And it helps each of us to become stronger in the struggle to live the way we're meant to live. We help each other do it more consistently by modeling it to each other, by making it normal. It's so important that we continue to gather together as God's people each week. Because if we don't, what we see around us continues to be what we think is normal. And it's so important that every one of us works together to encourage the process of rewriting our worldview into the truth that Jesus preached. We all need to speak, act, and think in ways that are authentic to who we are, rather than who we were. Because that's how we become united under him in the now. It's so important that we each go out from here and live in ways that reflect who we are as God's church rather than simply looking like every other person around us, because we're meant to look and live different, because we are different. Would you pray with me? Father, sometimes it's very hard for us to know how to tackle living the way that you want us to live. And so I thank you for the words that Paul has written, the command that he gave on your behalf for us to no longer live as the people we thought we were, but to live as your people. Help us to do that together. Help us to build each other up. Help us to encourage one another through our own discipleship, through our own work, to become more like God. And Father, help us to go out into this world and to live as your people would live, rather than as just another person in this world. In your name we pray. Amen.